Hi, I'm Monica Olson.
And I'm Jennifer Walsh.
And you're listening to the Biophilic Solutions Podcast, where every other week we sit down with experts and thought leaders in order to explore the innate connection between humans and nature and why we need nature to thrive.
We truly believe that reconnecting with the natural world and understanding our place within nature is a key to tackling the global environmental problems we face today.
So let's get to today's episode.
Hey, Monica.
Hey, Jennifer.
So, Monica, tell our listeners about today's episode. I wasn't able to join, unfortunately, so this is the very first time one of us had to interview a guest solo.
Yes, and we definitely missed you, Jen. Now, do you remember when we interviewed Edward B. Barbier about shifting to a green economy?
Oh, I sure do. That was a really popular episode, if I can recall correctly.
Yeah, so he really made great points about how businesses would actually improve their bottom line if they adopted more sustainable practices, which is really relevant in today's conversation with David Eady. David is the Director of Industry Engagement at the Racy Anderson Center for Sustainable Business in partnership with Georgia Tech's Schuller School of Business. Big mouthful. David's role is to establish relationships with the business community in order to meet environmental targets. One of the major ways he does this is through Drawdown Georgia, which some of you may know is Paul Hawkins' concept, Drawdown. This is the Georgia Business Compact, and it's an agreement among multiple big businesses, small businesses, any businesses can support statewide achievement of net zero emissions by 2050.
Okay, well, that's fascinating. I also love when we explore really big issues and big solutions, but I think it's equally important to talk about some tangible solutions happening at the statewide or even city levels.
Yeah, I really agree. And it makes them really relevant when you can start to think about how they affect you personally. So David comes to Georgia Tech after a long career leading sustainability initiatives as a community organizer and in many civic roles. And in addition to his role at Tech, he is also the mayor of a town called Oxford, Georgia, where his career has informed a number of environmental initiatives as well.
Well, I can't wait to listen.
Hey, David. Welcome to Biophilic Solutions. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you for inviting me.
I haven't seen you in a while. You came to Serenby originally, gosh, a while back. And I just remember being so enthralled with what you were doing at Georgia Tech. So I'd love to sort of jump right in and talk about the program, the role that you have, and how it's connected to Racy Anderson Foundation.
Yeah, so I'm the Director of Industry Engagement at the Racy Anderson Center for Sustainable Business, which is a mouthful to say. Our primary funder is the Racy Anderson Foundation, but we also have funding that comes through donations, particularly from our corporate partners. And one of the main things that I work on is I direct the Drawdown Georgia Business Compact. The Business Compact came out of work that we refer to as Drawdown Georgia, which was research that Georgia Tech, Emory University, and University of Georgia, Georgia State University all collaborated on to identify what are the top strategies for reducing greenhouse gas emissions in Georgia. And that research was funded by the Racy Anderson Foundation. And as we start talking about how are we going to deploy these solutions and bring them to the scale that they need to be, we talked about the role of business in that. And since corporate engagement is part of our mission, we had a number of corporate partners. We started talking about the idea of a collective impact initiative with the business community that would be focused on decarbonizing Georgia's economy by deploying those solutions that were identified in the research and any others that seemed relevant to the companies in helping to achieve their decarbonization goals.
Well, and I think it's interesting that you brought the business leaders in. Like, so now you've got, you're sitting in an education role, an administrative education role. We've identified all the carbon challenges we have, and Drawdown is an incredible group. If our listeners are not familiar, Drawdown is a national organization, and we probably have one of the more robust chapters, if you want to call it, here in Georgia, Drawdown Georgia, which is an offshoot and supported by Racy Anderson. But I just think the idea of like, we can talk to people all day long and let them know they need to basically draw down carbon, if you will. But it is, it's the businesses, it's the business leaders and the corporations. And so where did that idea come from? Was that something that you had, that Drawdown had, Tech had? Like, where did it start? And then how did you go out and start pulling these business leaders together?
Yeah, it really started back in, I don't know, 2018, 2019. We have a robust corporate engagement effort, and we have an advisory board with about 24 companies and organizations. So we had these strong relationships with companies, and we were talking about, you know, how the government policies were not really, in the U.S., weren't really leaning into climate change, in some cases stepping away from things like the Paris Climate Agreement. And at the same time, we were seeing more and more businesses stepping into the challenge and making commitments to reducing their greenhouse gases, you know, achieving goals of net zero by 2050 or by 2040 or even more aggressively. And we talked about how, given that climate change is what we might call a wicked problem, it's a very complex challenge that can't be solved by any one organization, one business. Even a business trying to solve its own challenges needs to work in partnership with others. So it's something that really requires more of a collective effort. And so we started discussing, well, what would that look like? And we said, well, first of all, we need to make sure that we have the right people in the room. Who is that? We looked at, you know, what are the businesses that have some of the biggest carbon footprints? You know, what industries and companies are emitting the most greenhouse gases in the state of Georgia? So that we want to make sure that we're, you know, we're looking across the state, that we're not just looking at the metro Atlanta area, that this is going to be a group of diverse businesses, diverse in terms of their sectors, in terms of their sizes, geography, et cetera. And so then we said we want it to be an inclusive initiative. And so we have very little barriers to entry. We just ask that the companies that join us join that commitment to moving Georgia's economy towards net zero, and that they demonstrate that commitment by getting engaged with the compact and trying to find opportunities to work with one another toward that common goal. And it really just started with our closest friends and allies and defining those attributes of what the compact would consist of, deciding on what we were going to call it, which we decided to call it the Drawdown Georgia Business Compact, so that we maintain that connection to the Drawdown Georgia research. But we made a point that this is a business-focused effort. I went out and started having conversations virtually because we launched officially in October 2021. So everyone was still working pretty virtually at that point, and just began to talk about the background of the research and the commonality of the challenge, the alignment with, you know, the goals and objectives of the companies we were talking to, and the opportunity for us to work cooperatively and collaboratively together and to learn from one another and share, you know, best practices.
Did you feel that, because the list you have is incredible, you know, it's sort of a who's who of Atlanta businesses. Did you feel that you just had to get a couple of the big boys or the big girls involved, or did you have any pushback? Like, what was sort of the initial reaction?
We'll be right back after a quick break.
Jennifer, guess what's coming up and where we get to hang out?
What's that, Monica?
The Biophilic Leadership Summit. It's back this March 24th through 26th.
Oh my gosh, I cannot wait to see you in person again. It's been way too long.
I know, me too. And we invite all our listeners to come to this year's summit. We're going to be exploring biophilic placemaking and how we use biophilic principles to promote health, happiness, and vitality in public spaces.
Yes, and I was just reading over the schedule, which I'm very excited about. There are so many great speakers and panels. And when you get to join us, I'll be doing a nature walk and moderating a wonderful panel on activating community spaces with two incredible women, an architect and an urban planner.
So this summit is put on by the Biophilic Institute and Biophilic Cities Project. So you can also come meet all of the leading experts in biophilia. And in addition to all incredible multiple presentations, we're going to have all sorts of great farm-to-table meals, plus cocktails, some book signings, and lots of networking, which is always a favorite. And it's going to be at your and my favorite place, the Inn at Serenbe.
Yep, that's one of my favorite places, as you know. So join us in Serenity B for the 6th annual Biophilic Leadership Summit from March 24th to March 26th, 2024.
And you can learn more about the summit and register today at biophilicsummit.com.
That's biophilicsummit.com. We hope to see you there.
We'll see you soon. Bye, Jen.
Bye.
Fortunately, we had great relationships already with a few, what you might call iconic companies in Georgia, Delta Airlines, Coca-Cola, just to name two. And they were part of the founding members companies. We started with 12 companies, and Norfolk Southern, we developed a relationship with. They're just two doors down from our office in Midtown. And so we had this core of about one dozen companies to start with. And it did include some of those, you know, name brands, folks that you know and you would expect to see. UPS. Also, we had Anthem, which is Elevance Health now. That's also just a couple doors down from us in Midtown. And, you know, we felt like that set the tone and made it much more comfortable for others to join. They realized they weren't getting ahead of the crowd, that they were really joining an effort that was well underway and they were going to be in good company. And they also liked the fact that it was associated with Georgia Tech. And so they knew that with the, you know, with the reputational value of Georgia Tech and with the companies that were, you know, those founding members, that it was something they wanted to join. And they saw the alignment with the efforts that they already had underway.
Right. And I think that just like if you're building a building today, you know, it almost has to be LEED certified, you know, and there's some other certifications out there. Earthcraft is one of our local, but LEED seems to be just the cost of doing business these days. Did you find that a lot of these companies understood the benefit of reducing the emissions, not only for the planet, but for their company and their shareholders? What were those conversations that were going on? Because I think, you know, sometimes people don't think of Atlanta as a place that is actually on the forefront of a lot of these ideas. And somebody like Drawdown Tech and Racy Anderson are really a huge part of why we are on the forefront. I think there's a whole tech story that we can talk about too, but were those some of the conversations besides like, okay, safety numbers, we trust Georgia Tech, we've got some friends here. Did they really understand we got to do this?
Yeah, I think that was, again, part of the genesis of creating this compact was we saw companies are already acknowledging that climate change is real. It is happening now. It is impacting or potentially going to impact business in a variety of ways. And we need to do our part to try to mitigate or avoid any impacts as much as we can and do our part in that regard. And then also look to how we will adapt to a changing climate. And so you are seeing companies that were getting, and they were getting this messaging from their own just reconnaissance in their business operations, but they were getting this messaging from their investors increasingly. They were getting it from their customers that were asking more and more, what are you doing to reduce your carbon footprint? And they were getting it from their employees that were demanding, hey, we want to know what are we doing as a company to do our part. And so, you know, when you take into account that they're recognizing the global risk to us all, the global risk or localized risk to their business, and then the stakeholder importance that they're hearing from those various camps, investors, customers, employees, and communities within which they reside, that all motivates them to look at, well, what is, you know, what's our game plan? How are we going right. to get in the game, do our part, be a force for positive change, be a part of the necessary transition to a decarbonized economy, and to do it in a way that, in fact, opens up new economic opportunity, not one that creates any sort of an impediment to the economy or reduces investment, but actually accelerates investment. And I think we're seeing that, we're seeing more and more evidence of that today with the investments that were coming into Georgia with companies like Qcell investing more and more in production of solar panels or SK Battery, you know, building plants to build lithium-ion batteries, Rivian coming in to build their plants, Hyundai coming in to build their EV plant. So there's just a tremendous amount of investment in technologies that align with that transition. And so Georgia's really benefiting from those new economic opportunities. So, you know, we just talk about how do we step on the gas? How do we get more of this? Because there's a lot of opportunity that still exists that is not fully realized or not fully leveraged.
Well, I think it's interesting that you brought up the various stakeholders, right? And my kids are junior in high school, freshman in college, and so they're not quite into the workforce. But, you know, that generation, that Gen Z and younger, they're very purpose-driven. And
yes,
they don't want to work for companies that aren't doing well. And that's in many, many facets. But obviously, environment is a really important one because these are the kids, you know, not to be cliche, but they're the ones who are going to inherit the earth from us. And so,
yeah,
you know, they're very concerned. So I would think that all of these companies, and, you know, it's maybe not the first thing that they thought of when they joined, but their employees, if they really want to continue to recruit the top talent out of tech or wherever, they've got to work on the wicked problem. So tell me, so now it's been around, you kind of incubated in 18, 19, you've been around, we're coming into 3 years, right? What have you learned? You know, you've probably brought more people into it, but what has the impact of the compact been so far?
Yeah, I mean, we really were acting in many respects like a startup in growth mode. We were recruiting a lot of new members and we were having a lot of conversations about what are the things that interest you all? What of these solutions that we've already researched resonate the most? Where do we start? What do we focus on first? And out of those conversations, we started to see a distillation of a few key areas that we could start with. And so just getting a definition of what are a more narrow or prioritized set of things to dive into, which we're still looking at like 7 or 8 different areas we're focusing on right now. But then the other impact has been the community that we've built with these businesses. We've heard from them that they really appreciate the opportunity to come together, to meet one another, to hear each other's stories. There's been a lot of new connections that have been created by virtue of the compact, a lot of new business relationships, folks engaging in collaborations on different things, whether it's companies like Norfolk Southern partnering with Gooder to work with their food services in their building to divert excess food so that it doesn't go to waste, to Cherry Street Energy, working with a number of different compact member companies to install on-site solar that helps reduce their carbon footprint from the electricity that they use. So a lot of that just community building and connection that came from just pulling together this group of diverse companies has really been a significant impact in these early days. We're all eager to start moving the needle, you know, on greenhouse gas emissions to be able to say, we've reduced by X amount, but we've also learned that this takes time. If you know, we're trying to, you know, align a lot of different companies around common goals and objectives and initiatives, and really trying to figure out also how do we do it right instead of rushing in and finding out that we made some mistakes that we could have avoided.
Well, and I think that's interesting because that was going to be one of my questions: is how is Georgia Tech playing a role besides, it sounds like, being a facilitator and a sharer of information? I think that's really interesting that, you know, you have a company, many of these companies are very large, public facing. And to your point, it's like, it could be that you want to reduce the emissions in the building itself, the built environment. So the solar panels but I thought that was interesting. You mentioned the food. I think that's what you were talking about, diverting food. And so is this composting? You realize you need to do these things, but you have no idea how to do them. And so they can bring, you know, a lot of people have brought in sustainability officers, which are a great start, and they may know what needs to be done, but they don't know who the partners are. So I think that's a really interesting comment that you made, that people are coming together and they're able to find partners to offer the solutions. Cause I think that's always a big thing is like, well, I kind of know I should be doing this, but I don't know how to do it. Are you housing all this information somewhere, like best practices, models, examples, tracking? Like, I totally get that it's a startup, you know, it's like there's a lot to do. But what is the vision? Are you starting to sort of bring this information together so it could be a resource for really anybody in the marketplace and beyond? What's the vision there?
Yeah. I mean, we defined our role at the Racy Anderson Center for Sustainable Business in four channels or four workflows, work streams, if you will. One was or is to facilitate those collaborations, you know, helping people make those connections and finding initiatives they can work on together. Another is on catalyzing innovation. You know, how do we, as a university and as, you know, with our connections to others in sort of the innovation ecosystem of Georgia, which is quite robust, how do we bring more innovation around climate solutions to both accelerate the ones and scale the ones that we know, but also new solutions that can help us address some of the gaps where we need innovation? And then the third part being that building that community of practice where you've got all these sustainability directors and chief sustainability officers coming together and learning from another and sharing. So it's kind of this collection, this community truly of practitioners that have their own stories that they can share, or they can ask questions and we can go find, you know, resources to answer those questions. And the last was measuring impact. You know, we want to be the truth sayer when it comes to how we're doing. We have seen some good progress in Georgia in terms of reducing greenhouse gases in key areas, but we've also seen increases in other areas. So what are those areas? Where do we need to do more? Who do we need to get in the game? How are we doing as a collective, you know, amongst these 62 companies that are in the compact? How are we doing individually, in aggregate, and then also, you know, as a collective in impacting the overall economy? So being able to measure that impact is that fourth point. We have recently partnered with Meta Impact, which is a digital platform for managing multi-stakeholder engagements like the Drawdown Georgia Business Compact. And it gives us a digital space through which companies can have a clear understanding of who's doing what and where, and gives them access to case studies of maybe successes that are being done by a certain company or in a certain area. But in particular, it is a place where they can discover one another, where they can say, oh, well, I didn't know that so-and-so was doing that, or you had a capability in this. Let's connect. And then we can track how many connections are made, how many initiatives are launched, how much progress is being made on the bottom line of reduced greenhouse gas emissions within this digital space. So it becomes what I call the common operating picture for us all, where we all can look at it and go, okay, here's where we are. I see where we're going, and I can see the progress we've made. And I can look around and say, who can I team up with? Who can I partner with in order to move forward on things? And we really want a space that people can be educated and inspired to take further action. So we see this digital tool as a good place to do that. We are looking at ways that we can use other platforms like our website and social media to get the word out to the broader audience, to the public, so that they can see, you know, what's going on within the business community, what's going on across Georgia, and hopefully also be inspired and say, hey, we should be doing that here. Or, hey, how can I get involved? And really, when we talk about Drawdown Georgia, the larger brand of Drawdown Georgia, it really is more akin to a movement of people that have a shared vision of a better, you know, better Georgia that is, has a more resilient, more equitable economy that is not as dependent on fossil fuels, that is not contributing to greenhouse gas emissions that lead to climate change, that is in fact leading the way and hopefully leading others to a much better path.
Well, and I would think that the sustainability officers are, you know, I would guess that a lot of companies have to have them at this point, I'm just going to say, right? And so maybe it's a little lonely because maybe you're the champion in your company and everybody sort of understands that we need to do these things, but you are sort of pushing the boulder uphill. And so, you know, I love the idea of sort of this like practice, this community, because they can go out and find models, examples they can bring back to their executive team, right? Because, you know, anything we found, numbers, right? Whether we're trying to build a new hotel, well, tell me how the other one did. You know, I need comps.
Yeah.
So are you finding that gratifying? Because I think so much of what you're doing is networking and connections. Do you have any like stories or examples of anybody? Because I just think that would be very, I love people. So it's like bringing those people together and seeing them make the connections that then benefit their companies must be very gratifying.
No, it is. I started my career as a community organizer working with an environmental group called the Georgia Environmental Project. And so I was getting training from some of the leaders in community organizing around the environmental justice movement at the time, and going out and working in communities across Georgia that were battling different challenges in their community and seeing how some of these challenges are playing out in our communities. And one of the things that we found was the value in bringing those people out of their environment, out of their community, and into a broader community and introducing them to others who, like them, are struggling with things. They may not be struggling with the exact same thing, but they have a similar struggle and they can share stories. If nothing else, they can commiserate, but possibly they can say, hey, we were where you are 6 months ago, a year ago, 2 years ago. We got through it. Here's how we got through it. Here are some lessons that we've learned that you can benefit. And so they can help one another. They can inspire one another. They can fortify. They can really learn from one another. And so I learned that early on in my career. And so that really has been a part of this Drawdown Georgia Business Compact as well. Is, I mean, people, like you said, they have their head down. They're working on their challenges. They're trying to meet their goals, or maybe they're just getting started. We have a company that recently joined, and they're really just trying to get started on it, measuring their carbon footprint, their scope 1, scope 2, scope 3 emissions, yeah, trying to figure out all the lingo. And so they are looking at the Compact members for help and inspiration. It's like, how have you done this? How can we work together on this challenge that I have? So that really is an important part of sustaining the effort and really having that really sustainability of the movement. You've got to keep people fortified. You've got to keep people motivated. You've got to, people can feel alone and frustrated. And so give them some reason to hope.
Yes. Well, and that's a good dovetail into your other job, right? You're a mayor. You're a mayor of Oxford, Georgia, and you have a lot of cool sustainability initiatives there. How did you become mayor? That's a whole nother ball game, right? You think that's a full-time job.
I jokingly say it was just my time, or maybe everybody else stepped back and I was left standing forward. No. But I grew up in Oxford, and my wife and I moved back here when we were starting our family in 1995. And I got involved in the planning commission. My master's degree is focused in community planning and development from Georgia State. And so I felt like I had something to bring to that, the local planning commission. So worked in that area for 12 years as a volunteer, and then found myself elected into the city council about 12 years ago, and served on the city council for 8 years. And our mayor, who had been mayor for quite a while, he felt like it was time for him to step down and to retire from being mayor. And he had put in a lot of good years and really helped to move us towards more professional governance. And we brought in a city manager. So we laid some really important groundwork. And so then I stepped in and said, I feel like it's time for my generation. I feel like it's that I have a lot to bring because of my civic engagement over that previous 20 years, plus my professional work, and that I could bring that to my city. And so, absolutely. I had one other council member that I ran against in my first election term, but he's a good friend. And we joked about it. He ran because he thought I wasn't going to run. And then once he found out I was going to run, he said, well, I can't back out. So it was very amicable. And he's now back on the city council. So we work well together. But it was really more about being engaged over a number of years and really understanding what our community needs, and then just taking it to the next level by stepping up as the chief executive officer for the city.
That's so cool. So what are some of the things that you're doing there? And some of them, were they you were already doing or wanted to do? Has any of the work with Drawdown and Tech informed what you're doing?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, my career working in sustainability is obviously a lens through which I look at my role as a leader in the community. And we look at how can we do a better job of recycling our residential waste and getting more participation in curbside recycling, but also how do we do it better? And so one of the first things I did was appoint a sustainability committee that could dive into some of these things like, okay, let's look at our recycling program. And another area is we have a lot of natural areas in the city, but like a lot of places we've been struggling against invasive species. We have a lot of wisteria vine and kudzu and privet and that's choking out our natural flora and fauna. So we've been working intensively to try to eradicate the invasives and replant native species of plants just to bring our natural environment back in a more natural state. Our community is where it is in part because of a local creek that provided important water resources in its early settlement. And so we have an effort underway to protect and restore that creek and to provide more public access to that beautiful natural resource. So a lot of people don't even know it's there. I think that's important for people to have a good connection to their natural environment. So we want more people to be aware of this resource. I want to talk about the creek just a second. One of the things with the creek also is it was named Dried Indian Creek, and it was named based on a story of a Native American being hung back in the late 1700s and his body left to dry hanging from a tree, which is just a horrible story. And it's to name the creek after this horrible incident seemed inappropriate. So we engaged with the Muscogee Nation through the College of the Muscogee Nation to talk about what would be a more appropriate, culturally appropriate name for the creek. So we're in the process after consulting with them in passing a local proclamation to rename the creek to Catawba Creek, which is an anglicized way of saying creek to the stone, to the rock, because we have a lot of granite outcroppings.
Nice.
So I'm particularly proud of that because it just really, it's about this important resource, but it's about respecting the people that came before us and addressing the cultural issues around that. We've been planting pollinator gardens or pollinator meadows to try to make sure that we continue to nurture our pollinators. We've been a tree city forever. So we continue to try to maintain it and restore our tree canopy. We bought a Mach-E electric vehicle for one of our police vehicles. And we hope over time to transition to full electric police vehicles. And we're looking at the electric trucks for our maintenance vehicles as we transition those. We're looking at that as well. Yeah. I mean, solar power, we are part of a solar project through MEAG Power that we can get a significant amount of our power through a solar project that is that MEAG Power is having built through a partnership with another company. So, yeah, I mean, we really anything and everything, we're looking at how do we reflect what we value? And we're a community where sustainability is an important part of how we define ourselves, how we see ourselves.
And have you found that the constituents, the citizens have been super supportive? Because I think, you know, a lot of times we talk about how do you get involved? You know, a lot of people don't feel like they can make an impact. And we talk a lot about think local, you know, and so even just you're saying, you know, getting on a sustainability committee, like some people think, oh, I don't want to get involved in my city or I don't want to go to the city council. But thinking about what you can do from working on the local creek to getting rid of invasives, that could be a really gratifying hands-on experience and community building experience to really dig in. So has it been also really interesting to see people get involved?
It is. It's always interesting to see who gets involved specifically on what, right? So what really inspires people. We've had a number of privet pulls and to see who shows up, you know, but that's it is great. Very gratifying to be able to look back and see how I pulled up all this invasive privet around the creek. So I think helping people find ways to get plugged in and to get involved is important. You know, I think there's also just the reality that people are concerned about their day-to-day lives. And so they talk about things that the impact on them, like energy burden. When I was running for mayor, I went and spoke to almost every single household in the town. We have about 650 households in Oxford. We're a 2,400 people town, so not big. So you could do that. But in talking to them, I heard what they were concerned about. A lot of people talking about their electricity bills and how in certain times of the year, they'll spike up and it'll be very challenging for them to pay the bill. They'll have to work out a deal with the city to pay a little bit over time And so they feel like they're always paying catch up because of the impact that their energy bills have on them. So we are looking at how can we make their lives better by providing opportunity to improve the energy efficiency of their home. And so we're part of a group that applied for some EPA funding with Rewiring America. So hopefully that program gets funded and we'll be able to offer up some funding to help improve the energy efficiency of some of the housing and also to transition folks from natural gas to electricity because there's health issues around that, as well as, you know, having less carbon footprint. So we're also looking at those sustainability initiatives that would have real impact on people's lives.
Well, and it's like models like that. We started off talking about this very big idea, right? Georgia Tech with Coca-Cola and Delta and these very large corporations to thinking about a small town of 2,500 individuals. You know, Chattahoochee Hills, where we're located, is around 3,000-ish now. But it is, it's like there's things that are so important to people and they want to get involved, but you have to have models. You have to know where to start. So I think that that's the incredible, what everything that you're doing. Is there anything we haven't touched on as we've wrapped up? How do people get involved with the Georgia Tech Compact, the current compact? Can people just call you? Can they sign up? What's the process?
Yeah, absolutely. We do have a place through our website for the compact. The website is drawdownbusinessga.org, and they can say, I want to find out more. And there's a link to expressing your interest. And so I get an email that says that Monica sent me, sent a note that said she was interested. And then I'll reach back out and we can talk and figure out how to get you plugged in. They can also just request to subscribe to our newsletter, e-letter, if you will, to know about events that are coming up. And so they can contact also through our center. But reaching out to me and let's talk about how to get you plugged in. And
perfect.
It's a big tent. We're all there with welcome arms. We welcome anybody and everybody. We're focused on businesses, but because we're part of the Drawdown Georgia movement as a whole, we are also plugged into a lot of other things going on. And so if you're not really a business interest or someone who wants to engage with the business compact, maybe you want to get involved with some of the church congregations that are working with Drawdown Georgia. And so we can connect you to Georgia Interfaith Power and Light and get you plugged in with them. So by all means, just reaching out either directly or through LinkedIn or through our website.
Perfect. Well, David, thank you so much for joining. I should say us today. Jennifer couldn't be with us, but thank you for joining me. It's great to see you again. And congratulations on the success, and we'll continue to watch and put all of this information in the show notes. So thank you so much for spending this time with us today.
Thank you, Monica. I really appreciate the invitation and good to see you and look forward to making it back out to CRNB soon.
That was so interesting, Monica. I didn't realize that there was so much happening in Georgia to address emissions.
Yeah, I mean, there's a ton more to be done and plenty of challenges, but it's really inspiring to see groups like Drawdown Georgia bringing together so many sectors to make an impact.
Yes, and that really comes through in this interview. I loved how David described the significance of collective effort. All these businesses have committed to a collective goal to achieve net zero emissions by 2050. There are many ways for individual businesses to go above that. It can be hard to know where to begin, so it's really incredibly beneficial to provide resources for partnerships.
I completely agree, and I really want to reiterate what David said about businesses facing pressure from stakeholders, from investors, and significantly from employees. So if you're listening and you fall into any of these categories, don't underestimate the influence you can have, especially as a collective.
100% agree. Okay, so we can also talk about the fact that David is the mayor. I mean, that's wild to me.
Yeah, I was really fascinated to hear about his work he's doing in Oxford. I mean, our conversation really started on the state level, but then it ended on the very local level. So if our listeners take anything away from this interview, it would be looking at solutions at the community level. You know, you really can make an impact.
I really do love that. So as always, we have tons of resources in our show notes for listeners who want to get involved or learn more.
Yeah. And like David said, don't hesitate to reach out if you want to learn more about the Business Compact.
All right. Talk soon, Monica.
Bye, Jen.
Thanks so much for listening. If you've enjoyed the podcast, we would love for you to follow us on our favorite listening app. Give us a 5-star rating and please leave us a review.
listens, follows, and reviews really go such a long way and help us share these amazing interviews and solutions for wider networks.
Absolutely. And we'll be back with another great guest in a few weeks.